Well, hallelujah. It's always exciting to be in the house of the Lord and to be a part of what God is doing, and, you know, so amazing. Yesterday we had our men's conference. What an awesome time we had, and the food was just magnificent. Hallelujah. Even though Robert did say that his meatballs were bad, but, you know, yeah, hey. That's right. But praise God, we had an awesome time, and you know how great it was to be ministered to, and it was just wonderful. All the guys coming together once again, and how amazing it is to be able to come today and just experience God. Now that the winds have stopped blowing and everything is kind of lightened up, you know. Praise God. I still don't have any internet in my house. You know? We had no power for a little while. Well, 6 hours, no power. But, hallelujah, I got a generator. I bought that generator 3 years ago, and last year it finally worked. But I didn't need it. So I was real happy when the power went out. I said, oh, boy. Finally, I can test it. I literally bought it brand new, and then that year the power went out, and then I went to turn it on, and it turned on, but didn't power anything. And I was like, no! I took it back, and it was the third time that I finally got it fixed. It finally is working now, so hallelujah. So praise God, and how awesome it is to be in the house of the Lord, and God, He is so wonderful, so faithful, so amazing. And here we are together at the beginning of a new month, and this is March, and March is supposedly the beginning of a spring month, isn't that right? Yeah. So I know some of you are happy. Yes. But, you know, the amazing thing is every once in a while, the Lord blesses us with a March snowstorm. A nice one. I heard they got nice snow in Monroe. Yeah, Monroe got nice snow. Yeah, that was really nice. You know, I was kind of jealous for them. I was like, what happened? I got like 3 inches, and it all was blowing all over the place, and it looked like nothing happened. And I'm going, this isn't fair. I was hoping for one more hurrah, one more opportunity to use my snowblower, which I started it, I pushed it out into the snow, and it went with it. It's not working. I don't know what happened. Goodness. I called the repair guy. He says, yeah, there's a 2 month wait for repairs to come to your house to fix it. I said, oh, well, I went to the hardware store and got me a nice extra wide shovel. And that was that, which wasn't too bad until my mother came. And she said, hey, that's a really cool shovel. I could use that. Suddenly that scripture came to a gift to everyone who asked. All right, Ma, here, you can have it. She's like, thanks, bye. I'm like, come on. And then when it snowed, she's in Africa. Which she did just return last night. She came back, and I'm sure she'll be giving us some updates on what happened. But she was in Tanzania, Zanzibar, Liberia, and Ghana. So she kind of, you know, did a little tour. And Ethiopia, I forgot. She actually got stuck in Ethiopia for a while. So they were hanging out there. On their way into London before coming back to Newark. So she's kind of been around a little bit, and it's exciting, and I'm sure that we'll hear more of the stories of what she was doing out there and what she was able to take, what took place. My brother went with her, and a couple of the deacons from his church, so they had a great trip.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so here we are today at the start of a new month. And, you know, I'm just kind of getting warmed up here a little bit. And we're looking forward to God doing great things in the month of March. And it's a new month and new opportunities. And my prayer is that every day we have an experience with God, an encounter with God. Not, we don't just get into a routine of doing what we do throughout the week, but that each day that we would be able to see what God is doing in our lives, and that we would be conscious of how we are striving to do what the will of the Lord is. And that challenge comes to us every day, and it's not always easy. And so this month we start a new theme. We will be talking about deployed, being deployed. And God is the greatest deployer ever. And as the people of God, we will find ourselves in situations where we're in the midst of the battle, where the situations are tough, things are challenging, and it's not so easy to just make a decision and to do it. But it takes having been prepared and understanding what the word of the Lord says and how God would guide us and direct us. It requires a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the leading that God unctions from within us, so that he enables us to have divine perceptions, so that we can see and know and understand. And God prepares us so that we can go out into the world and represent the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the greatest of all men who have ever been deployed. And we know that when a man is deployed, there are many things that go along with that. And so today we're going to explore some of those things. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see what the Word of God has to say about those who are deployed, or what's involved with being deployed, and even how God deploys us and how it all relates to us in our lives today. So I'm going to begin here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, and it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. And this is a deployment verse, and it is talking about how God calls all. The word of the Lord goes out to everyone. But not everyone who responds to the call is ready to be sent out. And so God has to transform us, and he renews us, and he enables us to be ready for deployment. And so I would like to use as a theme today, deployed to reach the called. Deployed to reach the called. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would mold us and shape us, that you would prepare us, and that you would then enable us as we go out into the world representing the kingdom of God as a people who have been called by your name, who are here to respond to the very call that you have placed upon our lives, and that we would arise in the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would engage the world and be your witnesses, a testimony of who you are and what you can do with a yielded life. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing in and amidst of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have been called as the people of God, and the call goes out, and God says, "Come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest." Jesus is given his life. He has surrendered himself, and he has stood up in the midst of a dark and cruel and evil world. He has given his life. He has surrendered himself, and he has put himself in a place where he has become our example. And he is the one who said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so Jesus is not only one who has deployed himself, but he then deploys us. And as we follow him, he leads us into battle. And it has been said that when kings go to war, their role or their responsibility is to lead in battle. Now, that doesn't happen today. Today, they plan from an office somewhere. and they don't lead in battle, but they direct from some position of safety while everyone else is deployed. Hallelujah. But in the biblical days and in a godly sense, the king or the leader always leads in the battle. They go forth. They go ahead to establish the way. In fact, God says that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. He was deployed from heaven, and he volunteered and said, I will go. And he came down, and he became a man. And even as he lived his life, he had to persevere through the ways of evil men. But not just the ways of men, he had to persevere through the ways of darkness, of Satan. And he was not only warring against humanity, but he was warring against the very spiritual entity that caused humanity to fall into darkness. And so Jesus was there to be our representative, to show us. He was there to lead us and guide us so that we would be able to know how to do what God has called us to do. Jesus was our example. And so he was preparing his disciples to engage the world. And we too must be prepared to engage the world. We can't just go out into the world thinking that it's just a matter of doing whatever we think is the best thing to do. But we must be prepared. And that's what God did. He prepares us. So what is deployed? What does it mean to be deployed? Well, it means to move troops or equipment or both into a position for military action. It is a military word. And to be deployed means you're taking resources and you're putting them in key places so that you can have what you need in order to engage the enemy. There would be nothing worse than running out of bullets in the middle of a firefight. Isn't that right? There would be a terrible thing if they blew up all of your equipment and you didn't have anything else because it was on the other side of the world somewhere, and now you got to wait for it to come. And there you are waiting for resources to come, and all of a sudden, the enemy is there upon you, and he's not running out of resources. He's got plenty, and they're coming in after you, and you find yourself overwhelmed or overtaken. So you must be ready. You must have your resources in the right place so that you can access them at the right time. It's to position or to station these resources and these things, to be able to establish them, a base, to be able to utilize them so that when they're needed, when you call on them, that they would be ready to be used. You can turn to them at any point in time, and they are at the ready. And so, as the people of God, we need the resources of God. We need the resources of heaven. We need the Holy Spirit to work, even in the midst of us, to enable us, to strengthen us, and so that when we are finding ourselves in the midst of the battle, we can draw from the heavenly resources of God and be empowered and strengthened and continue the fight. So we must be attuned to God. We must be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying as he leads us into battle. There's nothing worse than being in a situation where you need to hear clear instruction, but you can't hear because it's just not getting through. Have you ever had a bad phone signal, a bad connection on a phone? You know, I know on cell phones it's a little different, but you remember back in the old days when people had wires attached to their phones? Yeah, some of you younger guys are like, what? Really? Yeah, well, before there was the wireless phone with the antenna and all, there were plugged-in phones, right? I'm sure you've seen them on TV, at least, you know, some of the old shows. And you would get a bad connection. And what would you do when you got a staticky connection? What was the first thing you did? You jiggle the wire, right? That's exactly right. You start going like this. You know, you're jiggling the wire. And sometimes you would hear that. You know, but there you are. You're playing around trying to get that connection good. And that's what it's like when we're living our lives before the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations and they come upon us and you start realizing, I need to jiggle the wire. I guess the modern day is you got your cell phone up and you're looking for a signal. You're trying to get that thing, you know, where is this? Oh, wait. We're trying to get ourselves in the right position in order to get a good signal. And as we live our lives in God, we have to do the same thing. We have to always position ourselves so that we can get a good signal, so that we can be aligned and ready to go. That was my fault. I hit the button by accident. Well, we as the people of God have been called to be deployed, to be ready to go out. And this is exemplified in the scripture. It's laid out. And we see this over and over again. Jesus was first, and then we see other examples as well when we look at Moses. In fact, even Adam and Eve were deployed. They were released from the garden, and they were sent out into the world. They were deployed, and they were sent out. And they had to begin to start a new life and a new way of living. And so they were sent out. And so likewise, throughout all of history, God has been deploying people. And the most famous we know are the 12 disciples who he sent out. And this is the story of what happened to them.
33 AD, Galilee. The resurrected Jesus commands the 11 disciples to the ends of the earth. The disciples and the early church leaders follow the command and spread the gospel to the end of their lives. 34 AD, Jerusalem. Stephen, the first martyr, stoned. 44 AD, Judea, James the Greater, beheaded. Ethiopia, Matthew, killed by sword. 61 AD, Barnabas, stoned in Salonica. 63 AD, Jerusalem. James the Lesser, thrown from the temple, stoned, and then clubbed. 64 AD, Rome, Peter, crucified. 65 AD, Beirut, Simon and Jude, hacked to death. Armenia, Bartholomew, skinned alive and beheaded. 67 AD, Rome, Paul, beheaded. 68 AD, Alexandria, Mark, dragged through the streets. 69 AD, Patras, Andrew, crucified. 70 AD, Mylapore, Thomas, speared. Jerusalem, Jude, shot with arrows. 80 AD, Jerusalem, Matthias, stoned and beheaded. Hierapolis, Philip, crucified. 84 AD, Boeotia, Luke, crucified on an olive tree. 100 AD, Ephesus, John, the last disciple, dies of old age after surviving boiling oil and exile to Patmos. For 70 years, the men who walked with Jesus willingly faced gruesome executions and torture. Not one backed down or walked away from their faith.
These men were deployed, and they went and they fought the good fight. You remember the writing of Paul. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course, right before he was beheaded. And so when we go to battle, there are some who do not return. It is accepted that as we are going out, that we may have to make the ultimate sacrifice. And the awesome thing about serving the Lord is God says, you make the sacrifice before you go out. And so we give ourselves over to God. We yield ourselves to God. We die to self when we come to Christ and we surrender our lives. And so God can send us as he wills to various people, places, and situations and circumstances that come our way. And we surrender ourselves to God. We don't concern ourselves with our lives because we're already dead. We've already given our bodies over to God. And so we live in the power of the Spirit of God. We live under the unctioning and the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. And so it doesn't matter what people say to us. It doesn't matter what happens to us as we go. In fact, the Word of God says, fear not the one who can kill the body only, but fear the one who can not only kill the body, but even the soul can be put to death. And saints of God, we are here as the people of God who have been deployed in the ways of the Lord. And so Romans 6:6 tells us, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And so now God says, I am sacrificing your body. You sacrifice yourself so that you're no longer a slave to sin or the things of this world. And we are free in God, and we can overcome by the strength and the power of God. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You see, God has called us to be his ambassadors. He has called us to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. And when we bring the truth of God, when we bring the truth of his word to those who do not know them, they may not be happy when they hear the truth. They may not like what you have to say. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't say it. It just means that you must remember that you have already sacrificed your life. You have already died. You have already given yourself over as a tool or an instrument of God. You belong to him. You have been chosen. You have been called for a purpose, for a plan as such as this. And God says that you are of a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people. You are for God's own possession, which means God can use you and do with your life as he wills. And because you belong to him, he has chosen to allow you to be led into battle. He's deployed you into the earth, into the world, so that you can make a difference amongst those who do not know him. So John 20:19 says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had conquered death. Jesus had conquered death. And so not only did he die, but he suffered in the tomb, and then he was raised up on the third day, and then he showed himself. He didn't just say, trust me, Jesus is alive. Trust me, you know, it's all going to work out fine. Trust me, it's okay. No, he showed himself. The Word of God says, with many infallible proofs, Jesus proved himself. He proved himself. So your faith is not in vain. Your trust is not in vain. God will prove himself. The awesome thing about serving God is he doesn't just say, believe and that's it. Oh, just trust me. But no, he proves himself. He says, look at the evidence. And the evidence will speak for itself. You see, when you go to court, they tell me that the evidence is what the decision is based on. And so based on what evidence is presented, that will determine what the factors are that will lead to a conclusion. And that's why there are lawyers who fight to keep certain evidences from being presented. Because the evidence that's being presented just might incriminate their client and make them look bad. And so a lot of people who are guilty get away with stuff because they had lawyers who are able to argue from a position of withholding or keeping certain evidences back. And they get a judge who will say, all right, you can't talk about that evidence. And so these are the kind of things that go on and that happen amongst men. But God says, I have nothing to hide. I'm laying it all out on the table. Here is all the proof. Here is all the evidences. And even to this day, not one archaeological find has ever controverted a biblical reference. Did you know that? Not one. Not one scientific work has ever proven or shown that the Word of God is true or not true in any way. It's never been able, they've never been able to find anything to actually contradict the Word of God. Many people believe in evolution. I call it evolution. They think that mankind has gone from these different stages of humanity, well, ape-like men, and been conformed into men. And none of that has ever been proven, ever. But what has happened is it's been talked about so much that people just started believing it. And you get enough people talking about something, and eventually it sounds like it's true. And that's right, faith comes by hearing. And people begin to believe what they're hearing notable people say. And so an agenda is presented, and it is constantly reiterated, and then books are changed, and they begin to teach things that are not true in school, so that little children begin to be trained in a certain belief structure or way, even though it's not true, even though it's not been proven, and then by the time they graduate high school and get into college, they're fully versed in this false doctrine and teaching, and they are convinced that it is true when it is actually a lie. And God's word is truth. And the word of God shows over and over again that God proves himself. Your life and my life is evidence. It is proof. In fact, the word of God tells us that in order to win souls or to be effective at helping people come to the truth of the gospel, he uses two things as tools. One, the blood of the Lamb, which is the work of Christ at the cross, what he has accomplished and what he has done. And then second, the word of your testimony. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you are to argue theology in order to convince people that Jesus is the Christ. Right. Nowhere. It's not in the Scripture. That's a work of man. Humanity does that. Mankind has done that. And so God says, it is the blood of Jesus. It is the word of your testimony. And then he adds the other factor. He said, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you all things and brings everything to your remembrance. In fact, he even goes beyond that. He says, don't even worry about what you're going to say when you stand before men or when you find yourself in situations where you have to talk to even kings and princes. You don't have to worry. He says the Holy Spirit will give you in that moment what you need to say so that you can represent God and impact people's lives. And that doesn't mean that you should go through life ignorant, but what it means is that you ought to put your faith and trust in God. And one of the most amazing things is so often as Christians, and there are so many Christians who live their lives and they don't know the voice of God. How do you live your life as a Christian and not know the voice of God? And it's got to be of significance because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that's what we need to learn how to do. We need to learn the voice of the Spirit of God. Learn what the Holy Spirit is saying. And if you can recognize the voice of God, when you're down, the Holy Spirit will say, get up. And you won't believe the lie that, oh, I'm just down. Oh, I can't get up. Right? Like the commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. Right? Now they've expanded it. I'm falling in the park and I can't get up. And no matter where we are, no matter what our situation is, the Holy Spirit enables you to rise again. And the word of God says the righteous may fall 7 times, but they will rise again. And the Holy Spirit will breathe life into you. He will impart himself to you. And you will gain strength. And you will be able to rise. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the situation or the circumstances are. And verse 20 goes on and he says, but when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me or has deployed me, I also deploy you. I send you. And so the disciples were sent out. And they had no idea what they were going to face. They had no idea what their future was going to be like. They had no idea that they too would suffer in the same manner that Jesus did. They knew that they had given their lives, and they understood this. In fact, the Word of God says, it tells us that when others were all disbanding because Jesus showed how difficult it was for a mere human being to get into heaven, people were discouraged and said, oh man, this is impossible, and began to walk away. And Jesus asked his disciples, will you too leave me? And he said, where should we go? Where can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. And at that point, they knew that there was no other way except Jesus. And once you've had an encounter with Jesus, a genuine encounter with God, you will begin to realize there is no other way. And there is only one way to God, and that is through Christ our Lord. And so verse 22 of Luke 13 says, and he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he says to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Oh, saints of God, many people want to go to heaven. You hear people all the time talk about how good they are, their good deeds. And I think if I outweigh my good deeds against my bad deeds, then I will be able to get in. That God is going to kind of look overall and judge how much good versus how much bad, and whatever works out to be the best, that's what I'm going with. That's not what God says. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. He who comes any other way is a thief and a robber. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And because Jesus is the only way, it doesn't matter about weighing good against bad. It's weighing Christ against no Christ. It's about being born again versus not being born again. It's the idea that either Christ has redeemed you or he has not. And so before you can be deployed, you must be redeemed. You must be empowered by God, strengthened by God. You must experience new life in Christ. And it is through salvation in Christ and him alone that enables you to overcome. He says, I tell you, I will seek to enter and I will not be able. Oh, that is a terrible place to be when you're striving to do something your own way, thinking it's going to work. How many people do we know that are serving God in their own way? Have you ever heard this before? Yes, I know. If you've talked to people about the Lord before, well, you know, I serve him in my own way. You know, I have my own relationship with God. Well, I think that, you know, we just have to do the best we can. No, that's not how it works. Nothing works like that. Nothing works that way. You can't drive down the street your own way. Can you? No. No, you can't. You can't. On your job, you can't do what you do your own way. You can't do it. You have to do it the way it was designed and worked out to be. And no one can get to heaven their own way. It's impossible. It's insane to even think that that could possibly be. I mean, that's just crazy. Nothing in the entire world works like that. You can't do that. Nothing. You can't even breathe your own way. Right? Everybody. everybody breathes the same, in and out. In and out. You might hold your breath for a little while, but after a while you realize it's foolish to keep doing it. And even if you want to keep doing it, you're forced from within to breathe anyhow. Isn't that right? You can't even do that. You can't change the rhythm of your heart. You know, I think my heart should have a little more of a rhythmic flair to it. You know, I think I just want a little better beat, you know, so that as I walk, you know. Yeah. Hey, man, what's happening? Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, heart beating good, yeah. I got a nice rhythm going on. No, you can't. Everybody's heart is doing the same thing. When you go to the doctor, they say, let's check your heartbeat, right? They put your hand on your wrist. I still understand how they can feel that. Yeah, they put their hand on their wrist and they count 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Nurses know how to do this. 1, 2, 3. And they're counting against the seconds. And from what I was told, that if your heartbeat is between 60 and 100, you're okay. That seems like a big range to me. And then I was told if it goes up high, like 110, I'm 110. Wouldn't it be high, like 101, if 100 was like this? Wouldn't 101, 101? They said, well, you know. I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I need to know exactly what it's supposed to be. You know, should it be 65? You know, should it be 75? You know, is 60 too low and 100 too high? Clearly, 110 is way out there. They start getting worried. I don't know. But apparently, it has to be in this range. But you don't have a choice. There's a way that's right, that's good. And in the word of the Lord, in the things of God, it's the same thing. And so he says, strive to enter through the narrow door, through the way that God has established. Don't follow a way that is just random. It's thrown out there. Somebody's idea. By what authority do you present your idea? And based on what scientific facts are you making this decision? What proof do you have? Because the word of God is true, and God has proven himself with many infallible proofs. Certainly, you have something to back up your idea that you have a way that's somehow acceptable. And most people are their own authority. They say, it's my own. I'm like, really? Well, I tell you what, you know, you can't even bake a cake and give it out without having some kind of direction, something to follow, some way that you're doing this. You don't just make up your own. Somebody hands you something and you can say, yeah, I just came up with this myself. Well, you go, well, what is it? Well, you know, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you kind of go, well, exactly what are you talking about? And then based on what they tell you, that will determine whether or not you're going to try it. And you might smell it and go, I don't know. And you'll look at it and you're going to go, yeah, I don't know. But you're weighing out everything, trying to determine what it is that you see. You're looking for something you can recognize. See, tastes like chicken. Then you go, oh, well, now we might have something. Oh, I might try it. And when you try it, you just try. It's like going to the buffet, right? You don't go to the buffet and load up on everything you see. No, that's bad buffeting. You go to the buffet and you try different things, but you get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. And it's small amounts till you fill your plate with all the things you like to try. And then you sit down and you begin to sample and you taste. And you say, ah, this is good. I think I'll have a little more of this. And I like that. Oh, this isn't too good. And you push that to the side of the plate where the no good stuff goes. And then when they come around, they say, oh, are you done? And you say, yes. And you pass them the plate with all the no good stuff left on it. And you get up and you get another plate and you start fresh and clean. Hallelujah. And that's how we live as Christians, isn't it? We walk with God, and God causes us say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Depart from me. You never knew me. I never knew you. There's this terrible, terrible thing that happens when we miss out on God. He says in verse 25, once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up to us. And then he will answer and say, I don't know where you're from. You can't do things your own way. You can't just come to God any random way. You want to be in the presence of God. You have to follow his way, follow his precepts. And you can come up with all the different ideas that you want, but God says, I have a way. And if you don't follow that way, it's not going to come to a good result for you. So he says, he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. Jesus, that's a terrible place to be. And so we must be ready to meet the Lord. We must be ready to be sent out, to represent him in all that we do. And everything that we do it in the name of the Lord. And the hand of God is in the midst of us, unctioning us and stirring us and moving us and speaking to us and directing us. And we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. We apply the word of God in our lives. And we ask him to be our source of wisdom, guidance, and strength. And everything we do according to the word of God. And it says, and they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. Hallelujah. God's got a reclining table. He says, he brought me unto his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be at the banqueting table. That's better than the buffet table. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The banqueting table is where you're being served, and they come, and they bring plates of delicious food that has been properly chosen just for the occasion. There is fine drink and good company and conversation and people around who all follow the way of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And that is what is so awesome with God. He says, behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. It don't matter as long as you get in. Hallelujah. As long as you follow the plan of God, as long as you hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And 2 Peter says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, see that? If these qualities are yours and are increasing, that means you're getting better at it. You're becoming more and more like him as you go along. It says, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God is saying, if you draw on the resources of God, if you tap into God, he will strengthen you each and every day. And when you run out, you'll be able to tap in again, and you'll be able to refresh yourself, and you become better and better and better at drawing on the resources of God. And no matter where you go, no matter where you are, as God deploys you, as he sends you out, as he has you encounter different people, places, and things, no matter where, what your situation is, you can tap into God and draw from his strength and be refreshed and renewed. Oh, that is the awesomeness of serving God. He says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence and excellence to knowledge. And there's this building and there's this increase that we see in this passage as we look at all these things. That's growth. That's maturing in God. That's walking in his ways. There's this progression. oppression that God brings us through so that we can be effective in presenting his qualities. He says, these qualities are yours and are increasing. And they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. And God wants us to continue to mature in the ways of the Lord so that we can conquer, so that we can impact those around us. It says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice, there's the word, right? Practice these things, you will never stumble. He says, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Why? Because God has deployed you. And you don't just go alone. The resources of God go with you. And God will make provision for you. He will enable you to overcome. He will enable you to be more than a conqueror. And his strength and his power will be imparted to you. Revelation 17:14 says, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Hallelujah. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and the chosen and faithful. Hallelujah. Say to God, you and I will be among that number. You and I will be in that place. But when God calls us to the place of victory, or when he is raising up in battle, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hallelujah. And that's you and that's me. And John 16:25 says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. But for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. And I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. And we know that he there makes intercession for you and I. The battle continues. The Spirit of the Lord continues to move, and God continues to manifest himself in our lives. And in verse 31 of 16 in John, he says, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? In other words, do you guys get it? He says to the disciples, are you finally understanding this? And then he says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so, thanks to God, you have victory.